Recently, I have been thinking about goodbyes. Whether they are goodbye until I see you later today, goodbye until our paths cross again, or goodbye, it has been a pleasure knowing you. I wish you a good life. No matter the context of the goodbye, we often struggle with it. I don't really know what it is about goodbyes that make them so complicated. We probably say goodbye numerous times a day. If we know that we will see each other again soon, these partings are not usually difficult or painful. We are separating, but we are comforted that we will be reunited soon. There are exceptions to this, of course. As any parent of a young child experiencing separation anxiety knows, sometimes even the briefest of partings can be traumatic. One of the reasons the toddler is devastated at mom's or dad's leave-taking is that she doesn't understand that the separation is only temporary. For her, she's begun to realize that there is only one of you, and when she can't see you, it means you've gone away. She also doesn't understand the concept of time, so she doesn't know if or when you'll come back. In this situation, the temporary goodbye feels permanent. When there is only the now, even temporary leave-taking becomes never again. This came to mind as I studied for our gospel lesson today. This lesson continues the readings from Jesus' farewell discourse and prayer, in which he addresses his disciples at the conclusion of the Last Supper and just before he leaves to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, which will begin the journey of his arrest, trial, and execution. This discourse is really quite lengthy. It spans four chapters in John's gospel. That is a lot of talking following a big meal. In his farewell discourse, Jesus explains that he is going to the Father in reference to his journey to the cross, the victory of resurrection, and his ascension into heaven to be with the Father. But before this time comes, Jesus gives his disciples words of assurance and the promise of his continuing presence. I can imagine the scene. The disciples lounging about the table are still puzzled over this whole foot washing thing. They're still marveling over this new covenant Jesus has made with them in his body and blood. Still wondering whether they are capable of keeping his great commandment of loving others as they have been loved by him. And now Jesus announces that he is leaving them to return to the one he calls the Father, the one who sent him. "Wait, what?" they must be thinking. "But we love you. You can't go. What about us? How can you leave us? What will we do without you?" "Yes, I am leaving," Jesus tells them. "But do not let your hearts be troubled. I will not leave you orphaned." Like a loving parent to a toddler who is distraught at the idea of their separation, Jesus comforts his beloved disciples by promising that they will be left in good and caring hands, that this parting is not forever, and that he loves them. Jesus also gives his disciples three special gifts to strengthen and encourage them in the times ahead. The first gift: Jesus promises that his departure will bring a new presence to those who love him. He said, "I have said these things to you while I am with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." Also known in the Gospel of John as the Paraclete and the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit will be a teaching and guiding presence within the community of the faithful, whose primary purpose is to help Jesus' followers remember Jesus and his teachings. In this way, the Holy Spirit is our advocate, helper, companion and comforter, and functions to link past and future. The Holy Spirit reminds us who Jesus is and makes Jesus real to us here and now, bringing his actions into the present. In doing so, the Spirit is a continuation and also an expansion of Jesus' ministry and teaching. The Holy Spirit will be an abiding presence in and among the community of the faithful, guiding them to the future. The second gift. Jesus promises that the separation is not permanent. He says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Jesus explains that all the disciples must do is love him and follow his way. And in doing so, they will know and experience the abiding presence of the Father and the Son in their lives. Jesus may not be with us on earth as he once was, but the disciples can remain in loving relationship with him by doing his works and keeping his word. This gift is given to us through our faithful action. When we engage in the life of Jesus, when we live what he taught and demonstrated with his own life, we will find ourselves abiding in his love and experience the divine indwelling presence. One theologian writes, "The route to knowing God is to live the word of Jesus, which will in turn, with the Spirit's aid, lead to a living experience of the love of Jesus and the one who sent him." The third gift. Jesus again shares his great love for the disciples by sharing with them his peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This peace will be a comfort in the difficult times ahead and will be a salve to their frightened, troubled hearts. However, it is a different sort of peace than the world offers. As New Testament scholar Robert Kaiser notes, it is a peculiar peace Jesus gives. Kaiser explains that the peace most of us wish for is a peace of absence, absence of struggle, absence of sorrow, absence of difficulty. But the peace that Jesus gives is not that at all. According to Kaiser, the peace Jesus gives is a result of the presence of God in the Spirit, not the absence of other things. Not the absence of struggles of life. His peace is a divine presence that does not annihilate the unpleasantness of life, but empowers one to live with the unpleasantness. Now, I have to admit that's a bit of a disappointment, because I'm not sure that's the peace that I want to have. The peace I usually seek is the peace of this world. But the peace of Jesus helps us to live in the present reality, in the eternal now, which is the only place that we may find God. We need this gift of peace so that we may be present enough to know the presence of God within the world and within us. And when we know this peace, we are able to live with untroubled and fearless hearts. Today's text is from the concluding prayer that forms the culmination of Jesus' farewell discourse. Jesus prays that through the holy work of the Spirit, the Advocate, which will bind them forever to him, they will be given the last and greatest gift of all, full communion with God through life lived in Christ. This being in Jesus is John's way of describing a state of communion that is essential for us and for our faith, because it leads us to being in communion with others. As one writer put it in her meditation on this lesson, if we love God and if we are communing with God, then this will lead us to loving and communing with our brothers and sisters. If we love God and are communing with God, then we will find God in one another. In doing so, this will be our greatest witness to the world that Christ's Spirit is alive and working among us, even as he has returned to the Father. There used to be a daily short program on public radio called The Writer's Almanac, which shared poetry and literary historical interest pieces. At the end of every episode of The Writer's Almanac, the host signed off with these words, "Be well, do good work, stay in touch." What a great goodbye. That might be one of the best goodbyes ever. I think this goodbye, too, kind of encapsulates Jesus' farewell discourses. Be well. Jesus gives us his peace to comfort and strengthen us to live and work as he did. Do good work. Through the presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus calls us to continue his work in ministry in the world and to reveal God's love through our lives and actions. And stay in touch. If we love Jesus and follow his path, he and the Father will abide in our hearts through the Spirit. And through this, we will be united with God and know ourselves as his beloved. Amen.